Blog Talk Radio. going to get ready to go into God's Word. I'm hoping that you all have your Bibles, book, pen, paper, and pen, pencils. If you're not a part of the program on Blog Talk, please mute your phone so that nobody can misunderstand or miss a key scripture. We are going to be doing what God has told us to do. We're going to get the word out on tonight about the importance of family, following and living by the word of God. Mother Tony and Elder Ron, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Yes, we're here.
We're here. Yes.
Okay, well, I've been talking on Facebook for a little while, so if you all want to go on and introduce yourself and just tell Facebook about you, we are ready to hear.
Okay. Well, we'll like to to start with a little prayer, and then we're going to go on. And so, Lord, we love you because you are great and marvelous. There's no God like you. We thank you just for this opportunity to minister to the body of Christ. We ask, God, that you forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and prepare us, Lord God, to do your bidding. We thank you for this, your ministry, your daughters in Christ who continue, Lord God, to move your word forward across the airways and the internet, Lord, that you might be glorified. So we just ask that you bless us as we deliver your word about marriage and family tonight. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So just a little about us. We have been married. My name is Tony Montgomery. I'm married to the most magnificent man in the world, Ron Montgomery. And we have been married. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been married 47 years. And we have three children. And all of our children are single right now. And we have no grandchildren. And we are blessed. We have been working in ministry, I guess, in ministry with couples for the last, I don't know, how many years, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
At least the last 20 years. And just thankful for just this opportunity to share what the Lord has put on our hearts. So, you know, at the beginning of the year, we always seem to take inventory, take a little time to think about, you know, what we're getting ready to do. I mean, our church has been fasting and praying, and, you know, you write down your goals for the year, and you do all of those things as you start to prepare for a new year. And so we want to encourage you tonight to join us as we start to look at some areas in our relationship that we want to grow and that the Lord has put on our heart to share with others, areas that you might want to grow. And so these areas affect couples and families every day. So it's just not, we're going to talk about some areas that we really feel that God can come in and really strengthen our marriages and our families this way. And so we just really are going to encourage you to participate tonight in this sense. If you would get you've already been given directions to take out your pencil and your papers, but we're going to ask that you do that because we're going to give you some categories that we are going to you to think with us about. We're going to give a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to give you room to think about the scriptures that you would like to have in that place. And then we're going to ask you to sort of rate yourself in this area. So if you are married, you get to rate yourself, not your spouse. So I'm rating myself, and Ron's going to rate himself in that area. And then as we go through the year, we're going to work in each of these areas to strengthen our relationship and to bless the Lord through growth. That's our goal here. And so when we talk about each of these areas, and we're going to talk about nine different areas, We're going to ask that you think about them, and then you're going to rate yourself. One is going to be the lowest area, and that's going to be that's the area that you want to grow the most in. So that's a growth area. And then five can be a glow area where you really glow. This is something you do, you as a couple really do well, or something as a family.
As a person. Individually,
too. But it is the impact of the family that we're looking at and individually. So you want to think about yourself individually, and then how does this impact your relationship, either married or in your family? So we're going to do that. So the scale is from 1 to 5. We're going to do that. And so we're going to look at these areas. Ron, I can see past your arm so I can see this on the paper. Okay. And so I only have 5.
Okay, I'm going to consider the areas of purpose, forgiveness, love, nurture, and safety. You'll probably write those down. I'll say them again. I'm going to start with a purpose. So rate yourself as to your purpose in marriage. This is just you. You can write it down, or you can make a mental note of it. I'm not asking you to necessarily share this with anyone. This is a personal inventory. We want you to place this on your heart and do whatever things you need or want to do with this. So what's the purpose of your marriage? And we have to look at what the scripture says about purpose of marriage. It's kind of interesting because it's established clearly as a mission for why God joined you as a couple. And this was really pointed out to us in the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter and 18th verse, where the scripture says, and Adam was lonely and needed a helper. This is the primary purpose of marriage: fellowship, companionship, and mutual help and comfort. Because in the 18th chapter, the 18th verse of the 2nd chapter of Genesis, it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, we look at that scripture and look at what we glean from it. It is not good for the man to be alone. Stated in the first that this is what the Lord God said. So pay attention to this, and we know that this is true. What do we glean from this? The primary purpose of marriage is fellowship. It's not good for a man to be alone. Companionship, I will make him a helper. And mutual help and comfort, suitable for him.
So, go on, Tom.
So
when you think about the purpose of your marriage or your family, do you have a mission statement already written down with scriptures connected to it? And so I want you to think about that and then rate yourself from 1 to 5, meaning 1, this is the area that we really need to grow in, or we need to grow in as a couple or as a family, to really sit down and talk about our purpose. Is it a grow area? Is it maybe we got something written down, or we have nothing written down, or we have something written down, or we've talked about it but not written anything down? Or is this a grow area and we have a statement that we can share with others to help them see what it looks like when God has really given us purpose and direction? So take a few minutes and do that. Ron is writing his 1 through 5 down. I'm writing my 1 through 5 down because we're something that we're working on as this is part of our growth this year as well. My husband is looking at me. Fine as y'all.
Could you repeat? You said one is growth, and what is two, three, and four, and five?
Oh, we're going to get to that. No, first one is purpose.
No, the scale.
Oh, I'm sorry. The scale of one to five. One is in need of improvement or growth.
Mm-hmm.
And, Tony, what did you say? Five is great?
Five is that glow.
Glow.
Where you're really glowing. That's something that you're doing. And then you can rate yourself anywhere between. We weren't going to.
Okay.
Think of it. I don't know if this is a good illustration or not. Think of your responses as a light bulb on a rheostat, you know, on a dimmer. That's what I'm trying to say,
mm-hmm.
on a dimmer. And in each of these categories, you know, a one is down there where the light's kind of dim, and a five is up there where it's just as bright as it can be. It's so bright that the light almost penetrates through the walls.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's our first area. What's our next area, Ron?
Forgiveness. And we talk about forgiveness a lot. One of the keystone scriptures as far as forgiveness is concerned is Romans 12:19-21. It says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so when we get into these scriptures where they're direct quotes from the Lord, it's very important that we pay attention to this. And we have to take this apart very carefully to see how what its application is. By this scripture, we're told that forgiveness in marriage allows for God's intervention and helping to solve the issue at hand. And it prevents the urge for revenge among couples.
Mm.
Now, did you get that? Never take your own revenge, beloved.
Okay.
But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So the initial response the conflict is forgiveness on your part, because when you forgive, you leave room for God to do the resolution of the situation.
Okay.
The Old Testament is replete in examples of God's forgiveness, particularly in the situation with the leaders of Israel and the children of Israel. Write these scriptures down. A future reference is Psalms 103:10-12. And then there's Psalms 130:3-4. Isaiah 55:6-7. Jeremiah 31:33-34. Micah 7:18-19. Again, these are examples of how God forgave. And you all know the situations as far as the Israelites were concerned. They were a group that, boy, if they were your kids, you'd be whooping them all the time. Because God tells them to do something, and they may do it for a minute or two, but boy, the next thing you know, they're running off somewhere doing exactly what they were told not to do. And each time, without exception, they were granted forgiveness, and they had the ability to get back into the graces of God. God made covenantal relationships with them. That meant that he was going to always love them, nurture and cherish them. And he set the example for us how we should be doing our forgiveness. Of those series of scriptures that I gave you. I mean, the Old Testament is replete with these examples of God's forgiveness.
So,
and they're to teach us, I'm sorry, they're just to teach us, to show us how we forgive, and also the results of forgiveness. Forgiveness relieves the burden of you having to seek the revenge. And you let God do the work. I'm sorry, Tony, go ahead.
No, so I'm saying that so when we think about it in the light of what we're dealing with, what keeps us from moving forward in our relationships after there's been an argument or a family crisis? So think about it that light when you're thinking about giving yourself a score of where you are here. And then what keeps you from moving forward? And is there anything that you really need to, when you start thinking about forgiveness, have you been able to forgive yourself? So it's an area that I think gets in the way of growth of families and marriages, because as Ron clearly gave us examples, we don't leave it up to God. We take it in our own hands. And there's some other teachings, but we'll talk about that another time. Okay. What's the next area, Ron?
Okay, so far we've covered the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered forgiveness in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about love.
Okay.
And love has a sacrificial nature to it. But it also has a blessed nature to it. Again, we turn to the opening book of the Bible in Genesis. The first chapter says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over every living thing that moves on earth." God, think of the creator of the universe, gave to man the responsibility of the earth and everything that he created in it. It's to demonstrate his love of man.
All right.
And this is to set the example of how you are to respond to your mate and other people in your sphere.
So when you start to think about applying that word, to think about how do you act towards your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
What's your attitude?
A good scripture to emphasize that is Ephesians 4,
mm-hmm.
verses 2 through 3, where it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace."
Okay. So what kind of deposits are you putting in to your spouse or your family members, or even your children? When you think about family, what kind of deposits are you putting into their lives so you're building that emotional bank so they can endure hard times And so what evidence is there of in your speech and in your action? So to look at love. Okay. The scripture tells us that he loved us while we were yet sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And so when things are not going right and people are doing wrong, and I ain't talking about y'all, I'm talking about me, doing wrong, then the response is still to love, not to shut them down. So rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 needs to say it's a grow area. I need to grow in this area. It's number 1. 2, 5, this is a glow area. I really demonstrate the scriptures in my family, with my spouse, with others around me.
Mhm. Mhm. So far we've talked about purpose,
mm-hmm.
forgiveness, love. We're now going to consider nurture. N-U-R-T-U-R, nurture. Tony, what do you think nurture is? What do you mean nurture?
I always think about, you know, like my gardening. I've been gardening the last couple of years. And when I think about nurturing, I think about taking the time to put in the right soil and to make sure I get all of the weeds out, and I on a regular basis, you know, I didn't realize when I first started that gardening is a lot of work. You have to go look at it every day. You know, you can go one day and it's fine, and next day the bugs can go. So when I think about nurturing, I think about daily attention and work on my behalf to make sure that person or the garden is taken care of, to nurture,
mm-hmm.
take care of.
And again, we go back to the initial book of the Bible when the Lord was laying out his plan for the universe. Genesis, the 2nd chapter and the 24th verse, therefore man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And as you know, people become one flesh by nurturing each other.
Mm-hmm.
The man takes care of the woman takes care of the man. They share those responsibilities with each other. The other part of nurturing is also developing the family. Sometimes the scripture teaches us things in an opposite manner,
mm-hmm.
where we look at what we're not supposed to do to figure out what we're supposed to do.
Okay.
Titus 1:6 is an example of that, where it says, if anyone above reproach the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery and insubordination. Not open to debauchery or insubordination. So what are those things? What's debauchery and insubordination? Insubordination is not obeying the word of God.
Right, right.
And so what we teach our children and what we display to our mate,
mm-hmm.
is our obedience to God.
Right.
And debauchery are all those things that are bad of the relationship.
Okay.
Unfaithfulness.
Unfaithful.
Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Withholding of love.
Uh-huh.
And affection.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. And those things have to be exemplary of a husband and a wife. So the children pick those things up as not necessarily taught, but
caught. Yeah.
Because they see what's displayed,
mm-hmm.
because you can sit up there and lecture somebody over and over and over again, but the thing they're going to do is look and see
what,
hey, is he doing it?
Yeah, it's not.
And children are great imitators.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
they'll do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Nurturing is to bring to light the word of God, to live through your actions, your speech, and your teaching.
Mm-hmm. It takes me to put that time in, and then to model it for your family. So we're rating nurturing in your relationships, in your family. How do you rate yourself there on a scale from 1 to to 5. Okay. So we talked about purpose, forgiveness, love. I'm going to say love and happiness, but no, nurture. You know, I have to be a little silly.
Okay. Look up the words and see how that applies to the scripture.
Mm-hmm. And the next one around?
Safety. Safety. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. So we have to trust in the safety of God, and we build safety and trust in our family through our faith in God. Mm-hmm. Psalms 91:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. How are you rating yourself as far as putting your life in God's hands and depending on Him for your safety? And look at the manifestations of that, because most of the time, you are safe. And the point of this whole thing is for you to feel that safety by feeling God's presence and having to put your trust in God.
And so when it comes to how that looks in our families, how it looks in our marriage, we think about having a safe place.
That's it.
When you are interacting with your family or with your spouse, is it a safe place?
Mm-hmm.
Can that person be who they are? God created them.
Yeah.
So rate yourself in the sense of being a proponent of safety in your home. Now that, so we looked at purpose, forgiveness, love, nurture, and safety.
And what scripture did you give for safety?
What was the scripture for safety? It was Genesis. No, he did. He did 91st Psalm.
Yeah, 91, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
God is our refuge and our strength, and ever-present help in
trouble. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so when we talk, the next area we want you to think about is trust. So the scripture tells us in Genesis 2 and 25, and looking at the Amplified Version, it says that a man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed or embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to think about transparency in your in how you deal with situations that create stress between you and your spouse or you and your loved ones. Where's the trust factor there? The scripture tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and that we would not lean to our own understanding. Or it says trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight or understanding, Proverbs 3 and 5. So this idea that trust has to exist in a relationship to really help the couple find that safe place. You got to have that trust. So how transparent are you as you deal with situations that create stress between you and your spouse? How do you deal with those unpleasant situations? How do you deal with those things that you, or should I say, are there things you just avoid talking about?
All right, now.
Are these some of the things that make your relationship stagnant? So look at the trust and rate yourself from 1 to 5 in that area, thinking about the transparency that you have in your relationship. How naked are you and unashamed?
So trust is the 6th of 9 elements that we're going to rate. The next one, Tom?
The next one is faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But Matthew, Jesus actually takes this idea of faith and he really challenges his disciples because they get to a place where he sends them out. And he tells them to go and heal and he sends them on assignment. And then after that, they come back together and this man brings his son who is demon possessed. And he said, they could not heal my son. And Jesus says, bring the boy to me. He lays hands on him and the boy delivered. Then the disciples, he says he pulled them to the side. And they say, wait, why couldn't we do that? And he says, some things come out by fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. And then he rebukes them, but gives them hope at the same time. He answers and says, because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. And if it's God's will, it will move and nothing will be impossible for you.
Amen.
So when we think about faith as it starts to manifest itself in your marriage and in your relationship, how do you demonstrate your faith during challenging times?
All right.
And what would a mustard seed of faith change in your life situation, like money, like health, like children's situations, like mending broken relationships? What would a mustard seed worth of faith do? So I want you to think about faith in that lens, in that light, and then rate yourself from 1 to 5. Is this an area of growth? Like, have you been able to demonstrate that sometimes, or is that something that you do without fail? And I just say, I just have to say ouch about some of these areas. I just say ouch, Jesus.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I don't have an ouch. Maybe I should have put 0 as an ouch and then the other one. I'm going to rework my little scale right here. So,
0 to 5.
Yeah, 0 to 5. There you go. And just start off with the ouch. The next area, as we start to look at our relationship, our relationship individually, but our relationship as a couple mm-hmm. is prayer.
Yes.
And so, prayer. Mark 11 and 24, it says, "For this reason I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you will receive them, they will be given to you."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was my mother's favorite scripture.
Yeah.
She said, "I'm not praying and not believing, because God can't lie." So think about your prayer life. How is it demonstrated in your marriage? How is it demonstrated in your family? How are your conversations with God? Think about those conversations with God. Are they just one-sided?
Mm.
Are you doing all the talking and asking?
That's strong.
When do you hear from God individually and as a couple?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Philippians, it tells us to be anxious for nothing, but through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving to make our requests known unto God. And it says the very God of peace. Ooh. Peace beyond our understanding will guard our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus. So when you start to think about prayer, do you find yourself anxious for things?
Mm.
When we pray, what's our conversation like with God?
Mm-hmm.
So rate yourself individually and then think about it in the light of your marriage or your family. Is this a glow area? It's a grow area? Or it's in a between area? The next area. Sorry.
I'm getting caught up in the information.
And the next area is Bible study.
That's the ninth area.
It's the mm-hmm. last one we're going to talk about. And it's the last area that we're going to rate ourselves in. And this is a familiar scripture. Y'all know it. We learned it when we were kids. It was one of those that we memorized. "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee."
Yes.
The Amplified Version says, "Your word I have trusted and stored in my heart that I may not sin against you." So how often do we study the word individually or as a couple? This is one of those skills that we really encourage our couples to do as we walk through them in ministry or if we teach. It is like all of those areas that we've talked about before are embedded in the word. And if we hide that word in our heart, we can start moving the scale from 1 to 5. And let me put it this way. We don't get to move the scale. The Holy Spirit gets to move the scale.
Yeah.
And it gives our family a way to see what it looks like when God is handling our lives. Y'all, this doesn't mean that anybody's perfect. Ain't no fives on my, I don't have no fives nowhere. I'm just going to tell you. And because this is a growing walk with Christ. But I'm just saying that these are the areas that we feel that we need to grow in, that we grow our marriage in. And so we're taking an inventory, and then we're going to look at this every month. And so one of the things that we encourage people to do is look at your inventory. Where are your numbers? As a couple, you can sit down with your spouse if they're not on Blog Talk tonight, and say, let's rate yourself in these areas, and then let's sit down and see how we can then, as a couple, become better at living for Christ. Better living these out. And now you can't deal with all nine areas at once. That really sets us up for failure. You look at the one area that you feel will impact all the rest of those areas. Which one? And then just work on that one area and see how it affects the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
They are interdependent upon each other.
Yes, they're interdependent. Okay.
Well, Tony, this sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like this is a toiling type work. We have to work so hard.
No. There has to be joy. Joy. There's going to be joy. God put us in this situation because he wanted us to experience the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
So there is joy in marriage. So let's talk about a joyful marriage moment. I just want to give you one. I want you to hold on to this because there is joy that
yes,
God wants us to experience. And The Three Joys of Marriage by the Evanses, the Websters, I'm sorry, I got it backwards. And they shared this in an article in Christian Living. And one of the things, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just do want to dwell on the idea that once the honeymoon is over, we can't have. We can't hide who we are. We get to see that raw person. We get to see the real person, and eventually all of our little personal quirks are gonna come out. You're gonna see who we really are.
Amen.
And that's all right because that's how God created us. He created us this way, and we get to really nurture one another. As our model, Christ knew the fault of his bride, the church, and he still died for her.
That's
marriage
true.
Is to be like the love of Christ for the church, that one will allow us to be known and loved despite of our faults.
That's it.
What a
That's
joy
right.
it is that we can truly be ourselves in a godly marriage. We can just be who we are. We can let our head down. Marriage can be a taste of a known kind of love. We can, you know how you sometimes get in, you can dance in the car or you can scream at the top of your voice or you go in the shower and you sing out loud. You can have that kind of freedom in your marriage. You get to be yourself. And so we experience this gift truly to be known and loved. In our marriage, we also get the help of understanding unconditional love from Christ. So the joy of marriage is to be who we is. I mean, who we are. To be known who we are. And so we are turning it back over in the hands of our minister, Kaiser. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I was writing down
the joy of marriage is who we are.
Yes.
A lot of times people think when you get to a certain age, they say, "Well, I'm too old for that." I didn't put a expiration date on how long I was able to laugh or make someone laugh.
I
want to wake up, you know, start my day off after I say thank you, Lord, with a little, you know, a little laughter, because then I know the rest of my day I would try to get the best out of it. But I don't walk around with a lemon. I don't even like lemons. I drink lemonade every now and then. But I don't want to walk around looking like I'm sucking on a lemon, holding on to a lemon, and my face is scrunched up because of the taste that I hold in my mouth of the lemon. I want to walk around with joy. You know, I like the last things you said. Once the honeymoon is over, then I can be myself. because I don't have to impress you no more. I got you. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And the second thing you said, the joy of marriage is to get to be who we are. Because if I got to always walk around on eggshells and try to impress you, I'm not trusting God. Because when you chose this here, this right here, all this here, you chose
all of this.
Yeah, all of this. So I don't want to put an expiration on being myself. If you didn't change me from the beginning, then you can't. If you didn't tell me your requirements then, you can't. But when I told you from the beginning, I can't do this no more because I want to be saved. You came in knowing what my ambitions was. You came in knowing what my desires was. You came in knowing that I have faith that God is going to use me because I told you I wanted to be saved. So therefore, that means I have to live by the word of God.
Amen.
I got to live by the word of God. Somebody on Facebook, William Jean, put down amen. because see, a lot of times we forget. We want something so bad. You know how you want that dress that you buy and you say, oh, I'm going to lose that weight. No, I ain't going to put on no spandex. I ain't going to lose no weight. I ain't going to make myself fit in it because then that means I'm going to be uncomfortable all night long. Thinking I look good in this dress, somebody going to say, she looking like she overstuffed over there. You know, so I don't want to go into a marriage or a situation being overstuffed because I didn't walk in it being overfilled with my faith.
I hope somebody
understand what I mean by that. I thank God for the different points. And when I was looking at it, and Mother Tony said she got to go back and do the scale over from 0 to 5, I had to change some of my numbers from, I had to go down a number and a half. I had to realize I had a. Yeah, I had to realize it was a. Yeah, I had to leave. But see, I needed to go down and let myself know it needed real growth. You know, as she said, ouch. Real growth.
Yeah.
Growth. Need growth. And then on the fifth one, say, almost.
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 There you go.
Always growing. Always growing. Amen. Amen.
So I thank God for the service on tonight. I want to know if anybody on Blog Talk have anything to say. If anybody's on Facebook wanted to say anything, go ahead. But Countess, on Facebook, I do know who you are. Yes, I do. Yeah. And I thank you for coming in on tonight. But Blog Talk, please go ahead on and ask your questions and make your comments, please. And let Mother Tony and Elder Ron know what the service meant to you tonight.
Well, good evening, Saints. This is Minister Margo, and I feel like I've just been given too much homework, okay?
The great thing about it, Margo, is that marriage is not a contract, it's a covenant. There's no expiration date on it. So you got the rest of your life to work on this.
Apparently, I'm going to need it.
But the great thing about it is that you can enjoy the benefits of it all along the way.
Yeah. But I thought these were all, of course, excellent points, but I look at the fact you talked about them being interrelated, and I thought about just this whole concept of the prayer, of praying as a couple and praying individually, and how much that can not necessarily overshadow, but definitely affect all these other areas. So thank you very much, and I still say it's a lot of homework, but I'm asking God to help me as I go forward in 2022. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
I gave myself homework. Anyone else have something to say on Blog Talk tonight? Facebook, you can type in your parts. I'll read them out.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if we don't have anything that anyone else have to say, I know there's some people listening in. They're not married, so they really didn't want to make a comment on tonight.
But if you want something from an unmarried person, I'd say something, but... This is Cecilia. I didn't say anything because I'm not married, and if I had to act like I was married to something, it would be my job or my family. So just for the record, I didn't say anything because my marriage right now is to God, my family, and my job. And in all of those areas, I need an improvement.
We appreciate that. One of the things that Ron and really emphasized to me as we were studying and putting this together, he was saying, well, you know, I don't want this to be one-sided. I don't want it just to be about, even though we're talking about marriage, we know that this also affects families, and we wanted to make sure that if it's something that you can pass on to someone else who is married or that, you know, just building a good foundation family through the word of God, we want to be effective. And so thank you.
Yes. Is there anyone else? Okay, well, we thank you all for joining in on tonight. Thank you for enjoying our program with us on the importance of living and following the word of God according to the family, the biblical way. Again, it was Minister Ron Montgomery, Mother Toni Montgomery, and myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, that does the fourth Monday of every month about family, God's way. We thank you for joining us. Please come back this Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to hear our very own prophet, Antoine Thomas, who will be bringing forth the word. That's this Friday at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is our very own apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, along with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. And we want you all to know that that's a word that you can get up to in the morning while you're going to church, getting ready for church, while you're driving to church. So just listen in, please. We want to say our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Not some, not kind of, not most of, but all these things shall be added. We want you all to know that we are very excited about this month. We have 5 Mondays. And this Monday coming up, we will have our very own Minister Lawrence Seabury from Milwaukee. It's for our youth service. And youth don't always mean the children. It means young adults. So you can have your young children all the way through to young adults. Or if you are a babe in Christ, please check in on this Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time to hear Minister Lawrence Seabury. And at this time, I'm going to give it back to Mother Toni and Minister Ron to pray us out on the service. Amen?
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Let me do this before we leave. If anybody's out there that's not saved, we're letting you know at this point in time, you can ask God to be your Lord and Savior. Ask God to forgive you or your sins, and just ask him to just come into your heart, teach you about his word, get in his word, learn his word, and just tell God what it is that you need. He already knows. He just wants you to open your mouth. Ask him to teach you about yourself. Ask him for a Bible teaching church, not a church that's going to tell you you're going to get the big house, you're going to become rich, you're going to get the new car, because I just told you our foundational scripture said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Get with God. Get in his face. Get on his altar. Get in a church that's going to teach you the word, and all these things shall be added unto you. So just raise your hands and say, Father God, forgive me of all my sins. God, I want to be saved. I know that you died and rose again on the third day. God, I trust you with my life. I trust you with my heart. God, I trust you with everything I got. In Jesus' name it is. And for those of you that say, hi, what do you mean by he rose on the third day? If you accept him in your heart, he's going to come alive in your heart. He's going to rise in your heart, and you're going to know that he is God. Because now you're looking to please God because you're asking God for his heart. So I'm going to give it back to Elder Ron and Mother Tony.
Thank you, Minister Kaiser. Heavenly Father, we come before you, O Lord, with our humbled hearts, our bowed heads, to thank you for this time of being able to worship you in study and in prayer, O Lord. As we bring before you and our appreciation for the covenant of marriage that you have put before us, O Lord, we know that you don't do contracts. Contracts have expiration dates. You do covenants, O Lord, where you stand there at the beginning of eternity to welcome us there when you're finished with us here, Lord. We pray that we can do the things that it takes for us to get there with you, O Lord. And that thing that it takes is to have faith in you, O Lord, and believe in you, and believe in what you have told us to do, O Lord. We just ask that we can continue on these paths. If we're not on that path, that we can start on and continue on and live our lives for you, O Lord. And, Lord, we just ask and we give thanks in these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.